When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How you feeling this morning?
What is going on, T-Rock?
Chip and dip day. I everybody likes chips. It's salty, yeah. It's crunchy. We like that. Are you a dip guy? You like to, you know, kind of run it through? And we're counting. Salsa's not a dip. We're going to put that aside. Salsa's salsa, not a dip.
Okay, kind of an underrated dip that I definitely use. Not all the time, but if it's in the fridge, hummus is a nice little dip
that
action.
That is pretty good.
It's a good little dip action right there.
That is pretty good.
I don't dip often.
I like
often.
The plain kind. I don't like when they put all the stuff in it. I don't need the too red much. Pepper hummus. Yeah. I want the chickpeas and the tahini.
Yeah.
And their
Tahini?
Whatever tahine. That. Tahini. Tahine's the spicy stuff on the rim of a margarita. Tahini yeah. is the peanut paste.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You're right. By the way, when you just said that you don't like any of that stuff, I'll take any of it.
You like it all?
It doesn't matter. Mix it all together.
Bad, except
mix
for you get the
what about
the
buffalo chicken dip? What about French onion dip? There's amazing dips. What about like ranch dip?
I could skip that one.
Yeah, you're not a ranch guy, but I love it. I
skip all those.
You know who has great dips?
Buffalo chicken dip's pretty good, Sleep.
Trader Joe's has amazing dips. There's almost an entire like section of an aisle that is just dips at Trader Joe's.
Now, they opened up just like a small store. It's just dips.
I think you like to have the little like
Trader dips.
Exactly. Like, this has baking goods, and this has soup, and this has beans and rice, and then there's just dips. Just an aisle of
aisle seven, just all dips.
They have a caramelized
onion dip. Where do you keep your dips?
They even refrigerate them. Just
they have this like caramelized onion dip that's amazing. They have this truffle dip that's only in the winter months. Truffle. Sorry.
Oh, truffle.
Sorry. Got a
like
little
what's in the
mouth.
Trouble dip? I'd like to try that. Does it lead to trouble? Is it in and of itself the
Maybe.
Trouble? I don't know what it is. How was your night last night?
I mean,
stressful? Not stressful? Easy peasy? I mean, what... You seem
we're talking
like
about here. Back in 10th. What are you? I don't know what you're stressed out over there.
I'm not stressed out.
I'd be stressed
out.
If I'm the Jazz or the Pelicans.
Yeah, I guess.
I'd be stressed if I'm the Lakers.
You're clear by, what, a half a game? You're all
half
good.
Half a game right now. And a tiebreaker on the Pelicans.
There you go. Yeah, like, it's in the bag.
I think tomorrow's game against the Thunder is worth, like, 11 games. Because of the tiebreakers back in the air. By the way, you know what's going to happen? And I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I think tomorrow becomes the most important game of the season so far.
I thought you said that last night.
I did. No, not last night. I said it for the Dallas game, and I said it for the Pelicans game.
Okay.
But doesn't it, can it kind of change as you go on?
It can.
Tomorrow's like, one of those two-game swingers where you
funny.
Get the tiebreaker, too.
When we were, I don't know if we did it during Super Crosstalk or not. We may have, or it may have been just something we were chit-chatting about as we were kind of changing over. I think I asked John, hey, how many of these last 10 do they need to win? Because I'm of six, right?
Yeah, so six. I think six.
I thought six. Mm-hmm. And John goes, it might be seven, actually. That seven may be the number. I ran into Michael on my way out, asked him the same thing.
Five.
Michael said seven.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, they both said seven. So I still think six puts them at 42 and 42.
Yeah.
I feel confident that that
here's why I think you don't need seven. Nobody else is going to run away with anything.
I think so, too.
Right, like it's
five
not like
is good luck.
It's not like the Jazz. It's not like even Minnesota, who's getting a little healthy. Nobody's gonna really run away with anything.
What was it like last night? Like, take me through the because on TV it did. What was the game we were talking about where it had like this incredible buzz and energy and vibe? It felt like it was the Powell retirement game where it felt like
yeah, that was the Memphis
the
game.
Memphis game
yeah.
where it had this even on TV it had this palpable energy mm-hmm. to it. It at least through television last night, and I watched it on ESPN. It did not feel like that. Did it feel like that in
yeah,
the house?
Yeah, it definitely did not have that buzz.
Yeah.
Well, a couple reasons. Number one, I'm going to go back to this. It's not like you're watching Laker games and when the game's over, you're like, that's a good team.
Yeah.
You're not saying that the last couple of weeks. So I think part of it is that. I mean, Monty Williams decided to take, I want to say the Suns came all the way back with about 8 minutes left to go to a one-point game. He takes Devin Booker out. Mm-hmm. Booker's basically getting a bucket. Every possession, Booker's getting a bucket. I hear John and Michael say, well, looks like the Lakers will probably extend that lead. Why are they taking him out? Blah, blah, blah. But it's a one-point game with 8 minutes left to go. It's a close game again in the fourth quarter against a Suns team that doesn't have DeAndre Ayton and does not have Kevin Durant. Two incredibly big pieces.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's really that buzz right now. I think it's more survival mode. I think every time the Lakers win a game, there's kind of like a, all right, probably wasn't the prettiest, but exhale, we'll take it and go. That was Orlando on Sunday.
Yeah.
That was tonight.
What
or
did those
that
two
was
games
yesterday.
Have in common? What did the Orlando game and last night have in common? Which is, look, I'm thrilled, and it's awesome to see, and it is fun to see, but the last two games they've won is because Austin Reeves has been their best player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that is so unexpected.
Yeah.
It is so unusual that a guy that, you know, to start the season was probably at best a role player,
mm-hmm.
and then morphed into an important role player, and now last night was a starter and has, in the most important stretch of the season, been exactly what you would hope your best player is, which is, guys, I know this is a huge one. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
He had it against Orlando. He mm-hmm. had it last night. That Austin Reeves is the guy with the big, broad shoulders that's carrying this team is remarkable. Great. Not mm-hmm. not the least bit frustrated by it, but thank goodness Austin Reeves is up for the moment because some of the other guys have
last I checked, he's getting the MVP chance. So
exactly.
I don't know what you want me to
Mark Jackson
want me to tell you.
And Mark Jones were doing the game last night for ESPN, and Mark Jackson's like, no. I'm not here for this. It was like, I know, I understand what they're doing, but we're not doing this.
That might be the most loosely chanted three letters in the history of sports. MVP is thrown around no tomorrow these days.
He's MVP of this team for the last 5 days? Hell yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
He is the MVP in the last, you know, going back to Sunday afternoon against the Magic. He absolutely has been the MVP. They don't win with him last night.
Mm-hmm.
If he has a below average game or even really just an average game, they lose. He had a career high in assists last night.
Mm-hmm.
He had a career high in points on Sunday
night. The
night
before, yeah.
Austin Reeves is the reason the Lakers have won these last two games, which is just bizarre to say. Awesome, but bizarre.
I think, too, you kind of know you could sense the magnitude of it and kind of the desperation because pregame show, Darvin Ham kind of indicated that he might change something up as far as the starting lineups. Kind of threw everybody off. Nobody really thought. But it makes sense. One of my Lakers Talk dailies this week was on, should they change the starting lineup? Mm-hmm. Last week, we had somebody call in and say, hey.
It was earlier this week.
Or it might have been Monday, whatever it was. And we both kind of were like, nah, you can't do it because of Beasley, shooter, this, that. No, desperate times call for desperate measures. And if you got to move Austin Reeves from the bench, bring him into the starting lineup, you have no idea how it's going to work out. Is it going to destroy your bench? It doesn't matter. It's like you got 10 games left. Every one of these matter. Throw them in the starting lineup and just see what happens. This kind of shows, too, that there isn't a script or a blueprint that the Lakers have that you could look at and
wherever
say,
you can get it.
Yeah, I got it. I know how to win. That's not exactly the case.
So you'll probably have a better recollection of it than I do, but I know that this number was right. At the half, Anthony Davis had 7 points,
mm-hmm.
right? He had seven at the half. I'm like, really? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, come this. We're down to 10 games. Really, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Come on. Let's get and engage. And you get to the end of the game, and he was okay. But
second half, he was much better.
Much better.
Yeah.
Much better. He was. But we're having that moment. He was like, oh, my gosh, are we going to get another one of these? And you thank goodness that Austin Reeves was there. That's a sentence that I never thought we'd
kinda
be
talking
as we got down to crunch time. That Austin Reeves could have a great game. It's the NBA. Any of them can have a great game on any given night.
Yeah.
But that he's had back-to-back great games when you absolutely had to have them, that's what you would expect from Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got to have it tonight. We have to beat Orlando. I got it. Here's 40, 15, and 8, right? Austin Reeves did it twice. And Anthony Davis has been somewhere between not great and okay, and he's the one that's supposed to be there. The role reversal is pretty striking.
No, and it's not like it's LeBron and AD going back and forth. We're talking Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
And it's no disrespect to Austin Reeves.
None.
He's been terrific.
I
wasn't walking in to Sunday's game saying, watch out for 35, 6, and 6. Watch out for 25 and 11 from Austin Reeves. But give the man credit. He's doing what he's doing.
Where do you think that fearlessness comes from? Because he's not scared. He's not afraid of missing. He's not afraid of attacking the rim. He's not afraid of throwing a pass. Like he's just playing as loose and as free and aggressive, and he attacks, and there's no, hey, I'm Austin Reeves.
Could it be this? And maybe this is the difference between both of these dudes' mentalities, okay? I think a lot of times Anthony Davis, I feel like he's in his own head. Let's use the first half of yesterday. Let's use that as an example. First half yesterday, there are plenty of possessions where I'm like, AD even touched the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of possessions where AD is trying to make the right play and he's kicking it out. And then in the third quarter, there's moments where Anthony Davis is grabbing offensive rebounds, double team's coming, I don't care, I'm going to spin the other way and I'm going to shoot the shot. Sometimes I feel like the dude gets in his own head, where Austin Reeves on the other side, I don't know if it's the best example. You ever gone to a casino and
never.
All of a sudden you win? I refuse.
Yeah.
You win a couple $100 and it's like, all right, I'm playing with their money now. I'm not playing with my money anymore. And let's say you're playing poker. Poker's a perfect game for it. You know what? Let me just try to see if I can just BS this hand here real quick. It's not my money. It's their money, right? And rather than when I just lost $200, I'm tight as can be. I only have so many chips left. I feel like Austin Reeves is playing with house money in the NBA.
But I like the analogy, but I do think that it's personality driven. Some people get house money and get tighter because they look, I've this is mine. I'm gonna hold on to it really tight. I'm not gonna give it back to him.
And why are you describing me?
And then there are, I'm the same way, by the way. And then there's the guy, what do I care? And both the other way, even if you lost a bunch of money, it's gonna come back around. I'm good at this game. Mm-hmm. I got this. It's fine. I don't need to worry about it. I had a little bad luck. It's gonna come around. It's more between your own ears than it's I'm up or down. Like Austin Reeves, I think whether
he's an effort mentality.
Yeah, it's one of these. Why wouldn't I attack the basket? I'm good at this, and he is. I love the D'Lo quote last night. It's maybe a little off. He's like, guys, I don't know what to tell you. He's just really good.
Yeah,
it was just like, yeah, he is, and it's fun to watch. And thank goodness he's here. And thank goodness Scott Foster was there last night too, which we'll talk about next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
So.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I want to ask you guys if I'm a bad guy for this film that I had yesterday. Okay, thank you for answering. So yesterday I went to the Apple Pan off of your suggestion from talking about it on the show yesterday. It was a really great meal. Had
Glad
a great time.
It.
I took my friend who's visiting.
I preferred you gotten the hickory instead of the steak, but I appreciate that.
I had nine
steak
slices
hustle.
Of Shakey's yesterday.
Did you go deep?
Walked in the post game. There's just all these pizzas here.
Gosh.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to have
There's still a slice or two over there and a piece of fried chicken.
That's what I left.
In
that's what was left over from
Did you
my
eat
meal.
The fried chicken, Taylor?
No, I was going to say the pizza looked a little congealed.
Yeah.
That's how I like it. Anyway, so I went with my friend and I sent you some pictures. It was really good. But we were kind of in the area.
What
and
was that other? I saw chocolate cream. Was the other one banana cream?
Yes. No. It was coconut cream.
Coconut cream.
So it was really good. Had a good time. But I was in that area and I have an espresso. So you had to go to like weird special stores for an espresso. So you have to kind of, you can buy it online, but I'd rather go into the store and talk to someone about what I want to get. Anyway. So one of the only places to get it is in Beverly Hills. So I was going over there.
Must be nice.
I know, guys. And, you know, it's really rough for me to go over there. But anyway, I parked.
She's spending all of her money on coffee instead of getting a car that can get her to and from work every day.
Okay. But I parked on the street. And
Trader Joe's dip.
Okay, there are some things that make my life better. One of them is coffee. One of them is Trader Joe's.
We don't know what we're talking about. Literally ignore us because we are not going to help your story.
I will be quiet. Go ahead. Sorry.
I found a parking spot on the street, paid for it, everything. But the car in front of me was a nice car, very nice car, had a son's license plate, son's decal license, like Phoenix Suns. And they were parked in a red like area where they were not supposed to park. So you're it's illegal to park there, and I parked right behind them.
When you're not in the playing tournament, you run by different rules.
Exactly.
You do what you want to do.
You can park anywhere. Obviously, there's kind of
it's
this
like
thing going around.
It's like diplomatic immunity. You can just do whatever you want.
You just have the standings on your dashboard.
There's been a series.
Number four in the standings.
There's a series of celebrities that have gotten in trouble recently for parking in places they shouldn't be and just saying, essentially, that's the fee for parking for them. They've got the ticket. They don't care about paying it. Regardless, I come back from getting my Nespresso, and I'm walking there, and I see a cop, like a ticket person.
Meter maid.
Meter maid, yeah. Going up and, like, cruising up near my car and their car. Am I a bad person for really wanting them to get a ticket? Because it's a really nice car parked illegally.
You probably pointed him out, Emily. You're like, this one right here.
Right. See,
he was two blocks away, and he's like, jogging to the car with the guy.
The thing is, too, there's public parking in Beverly Hills, like right next to it. Like, you can have free parking.
No, by the way, you're not
right
a bad person.
Am I a bad person?
No, I don't think you're a bad person. I really don't. When people park, parking is kind of. There's a couple things that get me. Let me give you an example. And this happens all the time. When you're getting ready, when I leave the station here, I'm getting on the freeway to go back down to Pasadena. And I'm waiting in the same lane everybody else is waiting in. And you got that one car that will just go. It's, you know, you're going to exit maybe, I can't remember, is it 5th Street, 6th Street, whatever it is. And that lane is only for 6th Street, right? And they just come all the way up. And whoever the hell lets them in at the end, and they just didn't have to wait for that six, seven minutes, whatever it is, that really, really bothers me. Parking, when people take up two spots, they do this. We're just running a normal society. That's all we're looking for.
Right.
I have no problem with you hoping that they get
a ticket.
And
you know what? That person, the meter maid, cruised up to that car, looked at the car, didn't ticket them. And that also made me mad. Because I was also like, okay.
And you're 100% sure it was parked illegally?
100%. I didn't take a picture because obviously I'm not going to
should have posted
it
out.
Bro, they're in on it.
But
they've got
it's
the parking people paying them to the side here,
exactly.
Man.
Like, your whole job is to ticket people for parking, and this person is clearly parked illegally. And anyway, it wasn't even in a handicapped spot. It was red, and they shouldn't have been there. So I was mad, and then I drove home.
Parked in red. Rocking a Phoenix Sun something. Lakers have the Suns that night, and this person can't get a ticket.
They're just showing off.
It's probably Devin Booker's car.
It might have been.
Honestly, yeah. I thought
what
it was.
What kind of car was it?
It was a large white Range Rover.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a nice car.
Yeah, those are nice.
Could have been a player's car.
Yeah.
But also, why would you put – the thing is like, no, I don't know if a player would have a decal saying that it's from the Suns.
It reminds me of one of my favorite stories
yeah,
ever.
I don't.
You know where I'm going with this, right? Because you're like – if you're Chris Paul, you don't have a Phoenix Suns license
exactly.
plate holder on your car, right? But it reminds me of one of my all-time favorite things when Joel Embiid went out to the club in a Joel Embiid jersey. It is like next level awesome.
I went out in Philly one time and I saw Joel Embiid at not a club but at a bar, but it's just he wasn't in a Joel Embiid jersey, but you're Joel Embiid
go.
In Philly.
That's why it's so great.
We should go to dinner somewhere, wear Travis and Sliwa shirts, have the app on, playing our show and no big deal here.
Joel Embiid is, what is he, 7'2" or 3"?
Something like that.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest people walking around on the planet.
Yep.
He's world famous.
In the MVP
and
chat every year.
And the jersey on that's terrific. It's one of my, no, by the way, Emily, I am on your team in this one. Not only that, like the little scenario that you were talking about, Slee, that bothers me too. I just, as a general thing, I follow the rules. I park where I'm supposed to park. I don't. You and I've kind of given you a hard time, Emma,
stretch.
About that you get parking tickets. I've
gotten one since I've been here.
I understand, but I will drive 10 blocks away to not get a parking ticket. I follow the rules. And when somebody isn't, I want them to be punished for not following the rules.
I agree.
Because it makes my rule following make more sense. Because
I agree.
If I could just park in the red, why would I ever drive around for 20 minutes looking for a spot?
Now all of a sudden you're, you know, asking the question of, well, why should I follow the rules? And that's when society goes to, you know what?
Oh, it doesn't matter. By the way, we'll get into this a little later. I listened to a podcast on AI and ChatGPT. I'm not even worried about the climate anymore.
Okay, let me ask you
this. The computers are going to get us long before
okay,
the weather.
Let me ask you this. When I went through a streak there watching just kind of nuclear simulations, mm-hmm. how is this that different?
It's because it's less destructive, I think, like in like the carnage. Like you're sending
Because I'm interested. Whatever you're talking about, I want you to send me
You're
the
sending me pictures of like nuclear destruction, like mushroom clouds and things like this. I'm worried about...
It's a simulator.
I'm worried about Terminator. I'm worried,
I'm worried about that, too.
I'm worried about that, where the computers just all of a sudden look at each other and go... We don't need them anymore, right?
Yeah, we're good, right?
And it feels
that's
like
we got to get the chips in us as soon as possible.
A couple weeks? That's what it feels like. I was worried about, hey, you know, the planet's warming at like one degree a year, and in 60 years, well, I'm going to be dead in 60 years. I'm trying to make the planet inhabitable for my children and eventual grandchildren, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I am more worried about getting terminated in the next couple of weeks than I ever have.
You know
what
the robots won't do? They probably won't wait for the NBA Finals to finish. That's a, they're not concerned about
They'll
stuff
do it
like
in
that.
The NBA Finals or the Super Bowl when we're all distracted.
Right. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Look, I'm very glad that it happened last night. Like, I'm not so strident in, well, it's the right thing and the wrong thing, that I can't enjoy it when something that is profanely unfair happens to my team and it's in my advantage. I get it. But I have a quick question for you. Okay. I'm sure you probably talked about it on the postgame show or have seen it. The whole Dallas Mavericks Golden State Warriors snafu yesterday, right?
Yep.
And the referees screwed up. They changed their mind on a call, didn't let anybody know, and gave basically a free basket to the Warriors. Warriors ended up winning by two.
Yep.
It was a bad look.
Their justification, I still am trying to figure out.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
But I truly believe that it was just a foul-up. I believe that they just messed up.
I don't argue that.
That there was malicious intent. Last night in the Lakers-Suns game, the Lakers shot 46 free throws and the Suns shot 20.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul and Scott Foster have a history where if Scott Foster referees a game involving Chris Paul, Chris Paul's team gets hosed almost every time. Happened again last night.
Mm-hmm.
46-20. Scott Foster was involved. Monty Williams after the game was furious. Chris Paul after the game, probably because he's just tired of getting fined by it, kind of tiptoed around it a little bit.
Okay.
But that this is a thing that everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Foster and Chris Paul. That everyone in the league knows, oh, Scott Foster's refereeing a Chris Paul game. They're going to lose. And we're just okay with that? That that's just accepted? How is that all right? Because think about it like this. Think about if there were an umpire in Major League Baseball where every time he umpired Clayton Kershaw's game, he lost. Every time. We wouldn't be okay with that. We'd be like, well, this is just patently unfair. There's obviously something going on here. And that this free throw disparity with that referee and that player on the other team, glad it went the way it did last night for the Lakers because they won a game they needed to win.
Yeah.
But how are we just okay with this entire scenario?
Explain to me. So when you say, how are we okay, what would you like to see? Kind of give me an idea.
I don't know what the solution to it is, mm-hmm. other than removing Scott Foster from the NBA refereeing rotation. But when the scale is
Or not having him ref Phoenix Suns, Chris Paul games.
You can't have a vendetta against a person mm-hmm. as a referee. It doesn't work. It can be like this. It can be 55-45. It could, you know, ideally you'd like it to be 50-50, mm-hmm. right? That's a referee that I don't know if this guy even knows my name. Perfect. That's mm-hmm. what we're looking for,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It could be 55-45. Maybe in a situation where it's really tilted, it's 60-40. This feels like it's 95-5.
And
I don't know how we just like, yep, Scott Foster hates Chris Paul. We just kind of shrug our shoulders and keep it moving. It's bizarre.
Okay, so I will tell you that I didn't know, because I don't pay attention to the refereeing, I didn't know Scott Foster was refereeing the game yesterday until... You know, post game, and kind of get some information. Yeah. I do not know.
But
Scott Foster's
the Foster Paul dynamic.
Yeah. What is there? Is there like a specific number?
It's
in the games that he
when it was until a very long time. I don't know if he'd ever.
I know it's come up.
It's very heavily tilted against Chris. And by the way, just for full. I'm not a Chris Paul fan. I'm not here to advocate for Chris Paul. I think that Chris Paul is a little overrated. Mm-hmm. I think that he's a bully. I think that he's a cheap shot artist. Mm-hmm. But this is not right.
Okay. So let me, yesterday, I think by the time the first quarter is done, I had said, you know, the first quarter, I said something to the effect, the difference, or at halftime, like the difference of the game right now is Lakers they're getting more free throws than the Phoenix Suns. However, what you do think is going to happen, and this happens sometimes in sports, if there's a discrepancy that's huge like that, eventually the it's going to even itself out. Okay, so Monty Williams, you're talking about his post-game interview yesterday. Post-game, and I look, before I even saw the interview, I just said that, look, when you take 26 more free throws than the other team, you're probably going to win that game. Sure. I think they were plus 21 from
even
the free throws.
Even if you shoot 50%, that's 13 free points.
And I'm not here to – let's put the Lakers to the side. If this was flipped, do you know what the entire conversation would have been post-game and this morning? Explain to me how another team takes 26 more free throws than you. So I hate that that's part of the conversation, but it is. That's a fair conversation to have. It's okay. Completely fair
ready?
Conversation. Yeah.
Since 2013 – Chris Paul in games refereed, playoff games, refereed by Scott Foster. You want to take a guess at what Chris Paul's team's record is?
Okay, so now I think I'm remembering some of it. Was this like 0-20 or 0-21 or something like that?
1-12.
Okay, 1-12.
Okay, no. Not 1-12. It could be
okay, next
5
topic.
And 7. Mm-hmm. It could, you know, 5. It could be 4-8. And it's just like, okay, 1-12? Chris Paul's on good teams. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's one of those things that everybody's jumping up and down about what happened with Dallas and Golden State because the ref, again, they fouled it up. It was a mistake, but this is weird. It is a weird, heavily tilted one way or the other because look, most NBA coaches and referees and players understand that bitching about the referees is a losing proposition.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get fined, nothing really changes, and I don't
might get
a
technical foul. That could be different.
I don't get anything out of it. This is Monty Williams just like, no, I have to get this off my chest, and he got it off and then he just left. That it's really bizarre that we just live in a world where everybody goes, "Yeah, he hates Chris Paul," and we keep it moving.
Was it D'Angelo Russell that was going off during one of the timeouts saying It's Scott Foster officiating, something along those lines. I don't know if you saw that video, but that also, too, is when a player from the opposing team knows, oh, it's Scott Foster that's officiating. That's probably not the best look for that official.
It's weird. Yeah. Now, I'm glad that the Lakers can check the box.
I want Lakers-Suns first round Scott Foster.
In every game?
Yeah, I want him part of the starting lineup.
It's a weird deal, and that we pretend it's not is even weirder.
Coaching for the Lakers, Darvin Ham.
It's a weird
and
deal.
At referee.
That's kind of what it is.
The lights come down.
That's kind of what it is.
Scott Foster.
Little update on LeBron's health coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
A lot of links coming my way on Twitter, Slee, with the
AI
clip
stuff.
Some of those too, but just D'Angelo going, Scott Foster, y'all. Scott Foster.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that. Emily sent that this morning, and I'm like, I was still trying to kind of put the pieces together.
But also, you don't see him saying it, so how do we know it's D'Angelo Russell?
It is D'Angelo. Actually, okay. If the beginning of the video is as he's walking up kind of towards the bench, his head is off of screen, but then by the time he gets there, you actually see it coming out of his mouth.
Okay.
I am just blown away by how this is a thing that is out in the universe, and everybody's like, yeah, it's kind of weird. Okay, who plays tonight? Like, it's just, don't you want to address that? Don't you want to see if there's something
personally,
there?
Personally, Phoenix, stop fouling.
Start investigating it tonight. Because what if somebody gives him the stink eye on the Lakers?
Austin Reeves supposed to take more free throws than Devin Booker.
Uh-huh. Okay? I'm sure that's exactly how it goes.
Okay. I think Booker took 12 free throws, and I think there was like one other person that took a free throw. That was it.
It was something like that. It was weird. Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go down to Orange County and Fullerton. Franklin in Fullerton. What's it, alliterative? Franklin and Fullerton, you're up next. What's going on?
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to talk about, unfair. What about the Lakers getting almost 80% of the back-to-back games when it comes to a team coming to L.A.? The Clippers get them the first night. The Lakers get them the second night.
Well, I mean, that's obviously just scheduling.
The NBA loves the Lakers. They give them a break. That's a break. You don't want, on your second game, you're not going to be as good, especially coming to L.A. You're going to go out. You're going to go eat. You're going to go party, especially if it's a Friday or a Saturday game.
So there is something to that, but it usually flip-flops, right? The way that it usually goes.
Yeah, I don't know.
So this is not just exclusive to the Lakers and the Clippers. The Kings and the Ducks have the same phenomenon that goes on, right? Mm-hmm. Where a team from the East Coast typically will come in and play them both, either in two out of three nights or in back-to-back nights. Same exact thing when a team comes in to play the Lakers and the Clippers, East Coast teams for the most. Usually one year you're on the front end of all of those, and usually the following year you're on the back end of most of those.
I don't know the math. I would not be surprised if that's not even.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if that's not even Lakers and the Clippers.
Well, the other part of it is, too, is TV. That you want the better – they're going to put the Lakers on TV – TNT, ABC, ESPN, the bigger games more often. They do. They draw a better number even when they're not as good of a team.
Yep.
So, look, David Stern said this, I don't know how many years ago, when asked, what's your dream matchup in the finals? He said, the Lakers versus the Lakers. The Lakers are the engine for the NBA, mm-hmm. have been for a very long time, that they have a vested interest in promoting them. It's not a secret.
I wonder if it was different. Let me just use as an example. The Thunder play the Clippers tonight again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play the Lakers tomorrow. So that means Lakers will get them second of a back-to-back. The Knicks, when they were in town, played the Clippers on a Saturday. Lakers got them in the second of a back-to-back on a Sunday. Same thing with the Raptors, something like that. I wonder if you're back in 2017 and 2018, where the Laker product was just not that good, if that wasn't the case, that because ESPN's like, no, I don't want to carry a 50-loss Laker team, or if
Lakers
it was...
Lakers still draw more. It's like anything else, right? Even if something has not performed great
I wouldn't watch it.
Historically, they're going to put on the thing that they know draws a better number.
You know what's
actually
a good example is when I used to get, and I still do, when I get frustrated on these Thanksgiving games or these Christmas games, I'm like, I don't want to see... Even when the Lakers were on Christmas games, I'm like, they're 12 games below 500. Take them off national TV.
Yeah,
but
they
you're
don't
right.
Do that.
Those numbers
they,
are
they
those
stay
numbers.
On there. They played it on Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving, Christmas for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Before there was Christmas, they were playing on Christmas. they're not going anywhere.
It's 6-40, and they're like.
Look, I don't mean to spoil the surprise for anybody. These are businesses that are being run. These are not necessarily make it perfectly equal. They try to make it as fair and still make a bunch of money.
But the difference the difference is the conversation we're having about Scott Foster, it's not business related. Well, you can call it business related, but that's different than scheduling.
It's personal.
Yeah, that's
it's
him and
it's
the Suns.
It's a personal problem between those two guys. I don't know where exactly it stems from, but Chris Paul is not a guy that loses a whole bunch more than he wins, and that does happen when that guy referees the games
It's mental
weird
for Chris Paul.
Here's Dave McMenamin talking about a return, possible return for LeBron James.
LeBron will push for some time over the final three games that the Lakers play in Los Angeles. April 5th against the Clippers, April 7th against the Suns, April 9th against the Jazz, to target that range so long as there's no setbacks in his rehab to make his comeback, get back onto the court, get a little bit of a dress rehearsal before either a play-in tournament or a playoff berth for the Lakers.
Okay, so that was Dave McMenamin on SportsCenter earlier today. Woj has tweeted as well that says there's an increasing optimism that LA Lakers star LeBron James could return to play, quote, a few, close quote, games in the final week of the regular season, sources tell ESPN. James has been out since suffering a right foot tendon injury on February 26th. So McMenamin and Woj both saying, I mean, no one's saying he'll be back on this date, but that it's they're at least targeting a kind of soft open for the play-in or the playoffs, and LeBron could play a game or two or three towards the end of the season. That's encouraging.
Today's the three-week mark where he got reevaluated, so we're all kind of waiting for an update. I'm going to add one piece to this. Trudell put, while there's no timeline for a return to game action, LeBron has started to progress with gradual basketball movement and with on-court activity. If you told me, hey, LeBron is going to come back at some point towards these last couple of games of the season, a little bit of a ramp up towards potentially a play-in tournament, see where the Lakers are by then. I mean, it's the best case scenario that can play out for the Lakers. I can't envision anything else. If I just kind of walked you through the Western Conference right now, there's kind of a question mark with every team in the West. Every team has a question mark. And some of those question marks are they going to be healthy or are they not? Whether that's the Phoenix Suns, I think that's a fair question mark. The Clippers, how healthy are they going to be by the time the playoffs start? So it's not like I have my favorites that I would tell you that, okay, yeah, it looks like that team. They have just enough time to get their guys back and they're going to be a problem. For Bron and the Lakers, these, if you're playing, let's say there's 9 games left, you got to play 7 more without LeBron James. And in those 7, you go 4-3. Just throwing a number out there. Mm-hmm. So that means you're 500 with 2 games left on the season. Aren't you then just saying, okay, grab one of those playing spots. Bron is back. Let's roll the dice and go from there. It would be the best case scenario that they have in front of them.
If they can go 4-3. Like
They got nine left, so they're going to have to go 5-4.
I get it, but last night was a perfect example. I'm glad they won, but they needed a really unbelievable performance from Austin Reeves to do it. Same thing we saw with Orlando. None of these games are money in the bank. None of these games are out of reach.
Yep.
I don't know. They could have a really bad 10 days, and all of a sudden it doesn't matter if he comes back or not. They could have a really good 10 days, and you could buy him more time to where you don't have to play him. His return is the second thing. The first thing is you're going to have to find a way to win games before he gets back.
Yeah.
Because your performance in those games will determine whether his return means anything or not.
Or if he decides he's not going to come back because they're 2 games out.
That's
with
what
two
I'm
games
saying.
To go.
If the next seven they go two and five, then it doesn't matter if he comes back or not because you're probably outside of it and that's it. Or just the opposite could be true.
Just a prediction because it's sports talk radio. 9 games left. How many do you think they win in these final 9?
4.
Okay. 4-5. So that means they'll be 2 games below 500.
Yeah, which is kind of where they've been for most of the, like tonight, mm-hmm. or not tonight. For
I don't
tomorrow
think,
night is interesting.
I don't think they get in, right?
Not if they're 4? Under 500.
Look,
I think 500 is the number.
I say they get 5 and I say they go 5-4. Still have, I think, like the 6 easiest schedule, something like that.
That would five give them 6 in their final 10, which is the number that I thought. If they mm-hmm. win 5. They're about a 500 team. They win about as often as they lose. They haven't been able to get to that. They got another shot at it coming up
tomorrow
night against OKC.
They're 0-2 trying to get back to 500.
A team that they've had trouble with. A team that is hot as a pistol mm-hmm. right now. They're winning every time they go out on the court. Hey, did you see? Coming up next, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
So Emily's got a little phone game that she wants to kind of throw out at the top of next hour. And Taylor, you are the one that I have no guess on. I'm trying to figure it out. We'll get into it a little bit later.
A phone game?
Kind of a guessing game about all of our phones along the way. And I'm very, very confused as to how I'm going to guess for you. We'll do that coming up in about 10 or 12 minutes. What do you got for us today?
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Did you see that 38% of Americans prefer their coffee unsweetened? So, Travis, what goes best with a cup of coffee?
So, I like a bagel with a cup of coffee, and I like a very savory
bagel. Sandwich
bagel.
Or a bagel?
Well,
you got to clarify.
I want to split the difference, right? Not the bagel that you're thinking about, Em, with the egg and the cheese and the meat and all
that. Taylor and
things.
I wouldn't know about a bagel.
But I love it with the cream cheese and the tomato and the caper and the onion. And it, sometimes if I'm feeling fancy, a little lox. That's my favorite thing to have with a cup of coffee. I don't like...
With coffee?
Yeah. Like really? with like a donut or a muffin or that's not really my jam. I prefer something
what
more
about sweetener?
Savory. No, I take my coffee either black or with a little bit of milk, never sugar.
Real man. Mm. What about you, Slate?
No sugar for me. I do put a little bit of milk in there, but some of my favorite cups of coffees are with some type of a sweet, some type of a dessert, right? Whatever it is. If you're at a restaurant, I don't know. This was, what's today? Tuesday night? Wednesday night? Whatever night it was. Went and had some dinner, and when I was done, I'm like, yeah, get a cup of coffee over here. It was late, too. It was like 7 o'clock. I don't know why I'm getting a cup of coffee, but I could sleep. I'm okay
with that.
Yeah,
lucky.
I don't have that issue. But with that, I'm going to get some dessert here.
Give like a little piece of cake sweet. Or pie or something?
This was a... what's the creme brulee? Just like
that's
the,
good.
It's pretty damn good.
Was there
I
some
like
sliced
sweet
strawberries on top of that?
There was some sliced strawberries.
Of course there were. Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
So my ideal cup of coffee, if I'm going to go out, get a cup of coffee somewhere, if some place has a lavender oat milk latte, immediately I'm getting that. It sounds fancy. Amazing.
Well, Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I am.
An espresso machine.
coffee.
Double part.
There are some things in life that are beautiful
lavender
and lovely. And I think coffee can be one of them.
You're like, her coffees are my martinis. There's a right way to do it. And when it's done just right, transcendent.
And then my favorite pairing with a cup of coffee, my mom makes this amazing coffee cake. So if I'm at home, I love my mom's coffee cake.
What about you, Taylor?
A cup of coffee.
A joint. All right, guys. Next up, did you see that 55?
That came out of nowhere.
55% of recent high school graduates either have no plans to attend college or are uncertain that they will ever attend. So, Sliwa, do you believe that college was worth it? Why or why not?
I think it was worth it, but it's worth it for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think living a college experience is great. Like having that opportunity to be at a college, meet some new people. It's you're at an age too where you get to experience stuff that, you know, at least for me, high school and college was completely different for me. So getting that college experience, I think, was important. I think the other reason why it's important, you don't have to do it, but unfortunately, every job, there's so many of them that require, where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to college? What'd you study? Now, that's not as much the case maybe today as it was 20 years ago, but it's still an important kind of factor to getting a job.
I think Al basically is spot on. The experience of college is what is worth it, right? To learn to live on your own, to learn to solve problems on your own, to learn to interact with people that you both like and don't like, right? That you need to learn how to get along with people that you maybe don't like. You're going to have a boss you don't like. You're going to have a coworker you don't like. You need to figure out how to solve that problem. You can start figuring that out in college. The only thing the cost of it has gone through the roof, so the ROI, so to speak, lower than it's been in a very long time. I have a buddy of mine that hires a lot of people, and he's got a very important job, and he's told me this a long time. The only time anybody ever asks you about your degree, your GPA, where you went to school, is your very first job. After that, they never ask. They never ask. It's, what did you do there? How did you do? How did you improve it?
They don't
check. They don't. Like that first one, it's like, oh, you graduated from Fullerton. You graduated from Long Beach State, UCSB, UCLA, whatever it is. But after that, it's, oh, you worked at 710 for a while? What did you do for them? Who'd you work for? Do you know? It's your job experience. Once that first job is in the rearview mirror, it's all about experience. And
told ESPN, Harvard.
If you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, pay attention, go to school, do a good job.
Yeah, the rest of us, the extra
if you're going
to
be a political science major, thumbs pointed at me, it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of difference.
Yeah, I think that one of the main
major
things
in communications.
Same difference.
Literally.
Same difference.
One thing that makes it a little worth it is, at least at my school, the network is so big and it's a school that's known. There's people from my school everywhere. But I think that you could also find something similar to that where you can relate to people everywhere. And I'm lucky enough that with scholarships and going in state that I'm not crippled by student debt. It is something that's still there. But personally, I think that it was really worth it for me just because I needed that time away from my parents.
A financial aid action.
That's nice. I could throw a baseball. That helped.
That helps too.
We both
found a
here?
Way through the
yes,
system.
Yes, I would. But we'll pay for it. Awesome. I'll go there. That sounds good to me.
Okay. Hey, did you see that people with no formal religious identity form 26% of the total population in the USA? So Travis, if you could design a religion, what would you center it around?
Just being, it's literally, and I think all religions have this at one point or another. It's the one thing, and it's the truest thing.
Baseball?
No, the golden rule. It's literally that simple. Just everything, if everybody operated on the golden rule, treat people the way you'd like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I think we'd all be in a pretty good spot. Everything else that this God or your God or that God or this prayer or that prayer, whatever, did whatever kind of flavor ice cream you like, good for you. I don't like any of those ice creams. It's not my thing. Just treat people the way that you'd like to be treated. Mm-hmm. Everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah, I think, you know, being good to others is probably at the end of the day, and it doesn't matter. I think that's the best part about it. It's like, all right, you're this religion, you're that religion. Cool. Awesome. If that helps you be the person that you want to be, awesome. I'm going to treat you the same way. Doesn't matter. I think sometimes, unfortunately, religion has completely and continues to get...
Do you have any examples?
Completely divided, has divided people, which really? Kind of takes away the whole purpose of the religion. It's like, well, why even have the religion? Yeah.
I think if I'm going to form my own cult is maybe where I want to go with this, like my own religious cult in a way. I think it already kind of exists, but and also it's the subject of that new show on Amazon Prime called Swarm. But, you know, there's a nice little cult around Swifties. And so if we just like worship the feet of Taylor Allison Swift, it'd be a good world.
I just got a migraine.
Good. I'll be a heretic.
You guys ask me.
I would be the one blaspheming every single day.
I take everything back about being a good person.
You should feel very good about what I'm about to tell you next. It's going to make you have your chest out a little bit, Slee. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.